Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Okada versus Omega 5. Calm down, Tempest.
But I can't.
I'm Ollie Davis. I'm joined by Tempest. Nearly said the wrong name.
It's a thing with... I know it's really not a thing with only you, but that one Quizzlemania we did years ago has lived in the back of my brain since then.
It's because I kept saying it.
It really did.
Not cutting in on what I was doing.
Everybody else was at like a pretty, you know, a pretty even pace, and then you just racketed it up all the way to the top in one go.
I'm, of course, joined by Luke Owen, DAD. Welcome to the AEW Dynamite. Ooh. And Rampage review. We got so much crap the last time they chucked a Rampage on the end of a Dynamite. Why didn't you review Rampage? It had a really good hardcore women's match on. So when I saw that there was a hardcore women's match on this episode, I thought, we've got to watch it. And it was really good. I thought it was a match of the show. If you haven't already, please press the thumbs up button, give us a subscribe, leave a comment down below with what you thought of this double episode, and send in your Omega chats. This is quite fitting for this episode. To WrestleTalk.com/support, we'll read out every single one of them over $5. But our main talking point is Kenny Omega coming out in Winnipeg, your favorite city.
My goodness. Sucks to suck, Jet fans.
Yeah. And you, like, all while Tempest was watching this in the office, every 10 minutes you go, does this... This is your voice.
Mm-hmm.
Does this crowd get any better?
Yeah, that's pretty accurate. And for the most part, the answer was no. And I won't spend the whole show griping on it, but a lot of my enjoyment of this show was hampered by the fact that they were wrestling to dead silence.
Yeah, it's weird. I think Canada, I think hot crowds, not Corpus Christi.
Well, these are cold people in Winnipeg, maybe it was a cold crowd this night.
So Kenny Omega comes out. He gets the full Justin Roberts introduction, which I have missed dearly. I love it. All the way down to North Carolina. And at this point, we're in Rampage time.
Yeah.
It started at 1 hour 58. And then it carried on through until I think about quarter past.
I was like, wow, this is a really short main event segment. And then the fight feed just cut off.
I was like,
3 minutes into Kenny's promo.
Claudio and Brian Cage, you got to pick this up. We got a main event talking segment. So he gets a big Winnipeg pop, or as big as he's going to get in that city. And he talked about having diverticulitis. His doctor told him he was 24 hours from death. And then the sort of reality and the seriousness of it set into him. And he stopped watching wrestling. And his hands would shake whenever he watched wrestling again. And he talked about watching Dynasty and how his hands were shaking. And he realized it wasn't from fear. It was from withdrawal.
Great line.
A great line, but then you think, addiction's not a good thing. But yeah, it's this passion and drive to go back to wrestling, even though any sort of blunt force trauma to the stomach could kill him. That's what his doctor told him.
Mm-hmm.
And there's me, Marky McMarkface, listening to that and going, oh my God, that's that's really serious. And of course it's serious. But also, of course, he was going to get hit in the stomach in this segment.
He wasn't making it out of this show without taking a chair shot to the gut. And sure enough.
Well, then he said he will come back to wrestling, which, given what's happened, I think he's probably pretty confident that he'll be back. Not soon, but I would hope this year.
I would assume by, you know, the end of August.
Mm. He gets interrupted by the coin drop. A card comes out. Obligatory.
It's amazing, you know, like 2 years ago, that moment would have just fed families, you know. I met like Kenny Omega gets interrupted by Kazuchika Okada on Dynamite. Like, and to me, I was sat there and I was just kind of like, yeah, cool. You know, I assume that's where this was all going, you know, considering the last couple of months and whatnot. But like, you know, this was just after All Out 2021 and that coin drops or something like that. Like, I would have gone through the roof.
You just want it all. You want.
I do.
Adam Cole, Bryan Danielson, CM Punk. Yeah. And, you know, that wasn't enough.
And throw in Okada. Why not?
So Okada then says, I am the best bout machine now. He challenged Okada, didn't he? He said, hey, how about me and you in a couple of months in this ring? That's the couple of months timeline really threw me off there because he's a babyface. Maybe that was to throw us off because he did then get beaten up, presumably written off for a while.
You'd think. You know, I can't imagine that we'll see him on TV again for at least a little bit. There were some people kind of like theorizing that maybe Tony Khan could put Kenny Omega in place as like the de facto GM of AEW for the next little while. Put him on TV, kind of get him back in the mix a little bit while he's still recovering. But that clearly is not the case. We probably won't be seeing him for the next little while. And again, if all goes well, and my God, this would just be the cherry on top of my wrestling viewing fandom. But I can't think of a better match for Wembley Stadium.
It's what Luke keeps saying. I don't see it happening. If Kenny nearly died from diverticulitis in December, I think it was December, maybe November, I don't see him coming back in August to wrestle at the level he would want to on that stage against the Carter.
Yeah.
I hope I'm proved wrong, though. So Jack Perry then attacked Omega from behind with a chair. And that maybe like what I just said, I do doubt a bit because then Kenny Omega wrestled way more in the comeback than I thought he was able to.
He was hitting his dragon suplex and he was hitting a V trigger and he was running around and he was selling really well. Like he was grabbing his gut every time he did anything. And all the announcers were saying, get him out of the ring. He's gonna hurt himself. But it's one of those deals where if he was not well enough to do this safely, he wouldn't be in there doing it.
Yeah. When has he ever recklessly worked through injury?
No, never.
Sorry, excuse me. I've got a frog in my throat. Then the Bucks come down and they're doing that thing like, what are you guys doing? And they end up hitting the EVP trigger on Kenny. FTR run down for the save. They chase the Elite away. I thought, I've written in my notes here, what were they doing last week when Tony Khan got hit by that driver? And then Rampage officially starts with Omega being stretchered to the back. Pretty good stretcher angle, you know, and the ambulance and stuff. But then the Elite attack him again and push him off the stretcher. And that felt worse than the chair shot.
There's something especially like, you're tied down to a stretcher. You can't defend yourself one bit. You're prone. You know that you're screwed. I think the Young, like, it's no shocker to anybody at this point that what the Young Bucks have been doing as of late has been very, very good stuff. But you were getting, like, proper NWO take over the TV angle here. That paired with the beginning of the show with them cutting off Tony Khan's address and, you know, starting the show with an all elite video package, Dynamite intro video. It felt like, you know, a hostile takeover type deal. And to end the show with such a hot angle to set up what I can only imagine is like one of the biggest money matches you could possibly put on in AEW right now. I think that's a pretty good job well done, you know. Mission accomplished.
Tempest did one of these usual obscure references to the NWO there. A reference that the audience might know better is Main Event Mafia in TNA.
Ah, it's of course.
It's that sort of awesomeness. That's where the level is.
EO, EO, EO.
So I'm going to nitpick. And this is like really nitpicky, and I apologize for doing this. I wouldn't have had Buddy Murphy bleed from his mouth from internal bleeding in the opening match with Edge, selling the sort of gut, if you're going to do this angle. Because I think this could have been even better if Kenny started bleeding from the mouth.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Buddy Matthews is just Kenny Omega Light, really.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So maybe it was alluding to the angle at the end. But no, I do think that is a pretty valid criticism. You know, you like people to talk to each other, the agents to talk to each other. If one person's going to be selling the gut on a show, you don't do it early in the show, that sort of thing. I hadn't thought of it until just now you bringing it up. But again, if you were able to point that out and such, that, you know, I think, again, that's very valid.
It's super nitpicky, though.
Yeah, yeah.
I think overall that the angle, as last week's was as well, big success. And this is what I want from a big promotion dominating heel elite.
Yeah.
Did you think Hangman Page was going to make the save at any point?
Not particularly. Mm. Like, I still am looking at Hangman Page separate from what's going on here. What everything that he's got going on at the moment occupies a different part of my viewing brain than this. Like, I'm sure eventually we'll get some form of Hangman Page and Jack Perry match or whatnot. But from the moment Okada showed up, I was like, okay, well, this is all going to lead back around to Kenny Omega and that interaction. Whereas them kicking Hangman Page out, or I don't even know if he's kicked out of the Elite. Like, Kenny Omega was fired from the Elite. Hangman Page was just suspended for what he did at Revolution.
Yeah, and it felt like a joke, token fining suspension. Yeah.
So maybe when he comes back around, which, again, I don't know when that's going to... I don't know if he fits back in with the heel Elite. I know that's what a lot of us were fantasy booking going into Revolution with, oh, what if the Young Bucks and Hangman Page all win the titles and then this heel group and such. And it didn't go that way, but I still think there could be some scope for seeing Hangman and this group together. I don't know how well it necessarily... Well, I say that. Swerve Strickland and the Bucks keep seemingly butting heads.
Yeah.
And you look at who Swerve Strickland might be defending against in the coming months, you'd have to imagine another Hangman match is on the horizon.
Oh, we'll get on to that.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Let's go through your Omega chats for this part of the show. WrestleTalk.com/support. Get your chats in there. Hector Rodriguez, Memberg for 27 months, says, if I were Omega, I would probably ask for a part-time schedule like Lesnar because diverticulitis sucks. But that's just me. Also, Grossy Bosey Picker Nation.
I think that's supposed to be Packer Nation.
What's the grossy posy part?
That I don't know. I might be telling on myself here, but I don't know.
Well, good for you, Hector. Matt Hennessy. This is a big chat here. Ollie, my dude, you're awesome. Thanks very much. Luke, you keep doing your thing.
Thank you.
I do just want to correct Ollie on something. While we have seen big free agents like Mercedes, Will, and Okada sign with AEW over WWE, we have also seen big names choose WWE over AEW, like Andrade, Naomi, Julia, Tama Tonga, and Jacob Fatu. I do see the false narrative that all the big free agents are signing with AEW over WWE when it's actually been more even than people want to admit. I don't know if you're referring to my news. I literally say that. I say AEW have gotten this name, but WWE got this name. Mm-hmm. Even then, though, I would say Okada, Mercedes, and Ospreay are way and above, yeah. No offense to the other people, but way and above the star power of those that WWE got.
I would agree.
Anyways, this was a great 4 out of 5 Dynamite. The Elite story is great. I'm okay with them holding off on doing Hangman versus Swerve. I think you save that match for later on down the line. And when that match happens, Paige should finally get his win over Swerve and win the world title. Then Ospreay can beat Hangman for the world title. I think by the end of the year, you should have Paige with the world title, Perry with the TNT title, Okada with the Continental title, and the Bucks with the tag titles. Then next year at Double or Nothing, all the chips are put on the table for the ownership of AEW, the New Elite, versus Omega, Swerve, Ospreay, and FTR. Also, do not have Tony Khan on TV. He's not a good actor, and honestly, he's made some bad booking decisions, as well as said some dumb things in the last year that have really made him unlikable, in my opinion.
I mean, I could see them closing out the year with all the belts. You know, in like a Evolution in 2003, sort of like they close out Armageddon with them all holding the belts together. I think that could be, you know, pretty neat.
For a world's end.
Yeah.
Like final image of the year.
Yeah. I think we could see something like that. I think that Hangman will probably be the one to beat Swerve at some point. I don't know when that would be. In my mind, I wanted them to have their big title match at Full Gear. You know, it's like a 1 year on from their great Texas Death match, but that might be a little long to wait. On the other hand, maybe it's not. Depends on how long Hangman's going to be off TV and what you can have him do in the meantime. At this point, I think Swerve and Hangman would be a really good Wembley world title match, honestly, and that's probably when I would do it. Whether you want to do the title change there, it feels a little soon to me, but again, maybe I'll feel differently in 2-3 months.
If Ospreay wasn't in the conversation, I'd agree with you, but I think he's so hot right now.
Well, that's it. I wouldn't personally have him. I would have changed a lot of what Ospreay's last couple of weeks would be booking-wise, but I'll see how it all goes, because I'm not just going to say they didn't do what I was thinking, so therefore bad. But yeah, I agree. I think Will Ospreay should be like top babyface in the promotion. You know, I don't want to take Swerve's moment from him, but Ospreay's on a very hot streak at the moment.
I really like your idea, Matt, of Perry with the TNT title.
Mm-hmm.
Just because the way you can do that is, oh no, Christian isn't the TNT champion anymore.
Yeah.
Ah. Well, he can go after Edge, I guess.
Yeah, I suppose so. They're close enough.
I just assume Christian's the TNT title champion all the time.
I mean, for the last year, you would have been pretty much right.
Yeah. James Zimmerman, 4 out of 5 show. Call me Mark, but whatever. I love all wrestling. Right now, AEW is doing great stuff. WWE is doing really great as well. I wouldn't be shocked if Dynamite becomes 3 hours with the new deal, this being more of a test run given the opportunity.
You listen to me, James. You do not put that energy out into the universe. We don't need it. No. We don't need more 3-hour wrestling shows. Absolutely not.
I'm just going to cope and keep saying it's because of the NBA.
Yes, it is because the NBA is on and there are more important things to put on their stations on Friday nights. We don't need another 3-hour weekly wrestling show.
And finally, further this portion of the Ultra Chats, Omega Chats, Sorry. The name hasn't been recorded, so please tell the moderators your name and we'll give you a shout out. In hindsight, probably should have known Christian was the first feud when Swerve mentioned his daughter. Yeah. Also, I might be a radical thinker, but I'm of the belief that if your leader is being attacked, you should help them, Brian Cage and Gates of Agony. Maybe just me.
Yeah, there's a bunch of different bits here. I do think the mentioning of the daughter and everything now makes a lot more sense in hindsight. And if it wasn't done for this purpose, then it's definitely been, you know, roped into this story very well. I'd like to think that the Mogul Embassy has, like, they've broken up unofficially, but I would have liked this to be, like, I don't know, like a little TV program at least. Like, give Swerve a TV title match against Brian Cage. Something like that.
Yeah, it's
just
right
to explain that, you know, why this isn't happening.
Just one more has come through on the Omega Ricarda 5. I'm Just Marcus says, I'm excited to see where this angle goes. Glad Tony is not an on-screen character. Omega versus Ricarda, whenever he is ready, will be amazing. My only issue with the show today is, why is Christian the first challenger for Swerve? He just lost the TNT title. Well, shall we get on to our main play-by-play part of the show? Because that is very early on.
Indeed.
In it. So the show opens with a, as Tempest already alluded to, Tony Khan is remote in Jacksonville with the neck brace, and he's talking about how he's going to run the show remotely from there. Little technical glitches, cuts to the production desk and the Jacksons in the room and say, oh no, we've just lost Tony Khan. We'll have to run the show now. We didn't get fired last week because our contracts are ironclad. And then they play the show opening with just pictures of the Elite Team.
I thought this was brilliant. This was a bit of fun, goofy, wacky, WCW, Nitro, NWO, fun. I enjoyed it immensely.
Main Event Mafia.
Yep.
I love it whenever shows fully commit to the bit.
Yeah.
Like, do you remember when WWE did the Fiend style entrance on the Now Them Forever bit? So yeah, I was a real big fan of this. I remember when Christian took over the show sometime last year. I should have just done his own credits. My only thing here is that Tony Khan, he's in the neck brace and he is just smiling and...
Here in Winnipeg.
It's like Seth Rollins isn't selling when he goes, oh, my knee, and then runs around a load.
Right.
Tony Khan isn't selling a neck injury. He is wearing a neck brace.
Sure. His neck injury is as legit as Roddy Strong's was last year for half the time.
Yeah. I just thought last week was goofy, but it did have an element of seriousness. And seeing Tony here as the first, if you only watch Dynamite, as the first thing on the show, I'm just like, he should be in a hospital bed.
Sure.
I know he was on the NFL draft and stuff, and that was a smart idea, but yeah.
Yeah. I think just, you know, take it with a bit more air of seriousness, I think would probably go a long way.
Swerve Strickland comes out first to do a in-ring promo. He's going to find out who his first title challenger is. He says that what the Elite did to Tony was a bitch move. Although he didn't come out to check on Tony.
No.
The previous week.
He's busy.
Mm-hmm. And the Bucks interrupt him on the Tron and said, you shouldn't swear and bad
mouth
the
Bucks. Fine.
Yeah. And here's your challenger for Double or Nothing. I was totally geared up for Hangman Page here.
Mm-hmm.
So when Christian's music hit, I was like, I like Christian. That's cool. But I'm not sure I would have picked him here. You're a big Christian fan.
I am a big Christian fan. It doesn't quite feel like a pay-per-view main event. It feels like a match on a pay-per-view that's going to be 4.5 stars, be brilliant, and I'll love every second of it. But it does kind of feel... mid-card is too harsh of a word, because I don't think it's a mid-card match by any means. But it does kind of just look like a match that will go on second to last when they'll put on Anarchy in the Arena 3 after it. And they didn't want to waste a big pay-per-view match or something like that. I don't know. It is tough. In regards to I'm Just Marcus's Omega chat, I don't have a problem with the guy who's just lost a mid-card title getting a world title shot, because that's how it used to be. Like that, if you hold a mid-card title for an extended period of time, as Christian did, even though there's a five-minute gap in the middle there, but you have that long run, that is sort of your stake at being like, well, I should be the number one contender for the next belt. You know, you saw it all the time when the IC title was like at its peak decades ago, where if you lost that, you got moved up. And that was like really effective and such. So I don't have a problem with that necessarily, but there's still 3 weeks or so to really get me invested in this match. Just when they announced it, I was like, it'll be really good. I hope they have more for the pay-per-view to sell it, because I don't know how many people are going to buy the pay-per-view for this marquee match. And it disappoints me because I love both of these guys with all my heart. But, you know, it felt like that first big pay-per-view title defense should be Swerve going over somebody who's like really established, real top level main event guy. And I guess you don't have that many like former world champions lying around that aren't otherwise occupied. But yeah, I don't know. It's a tricky situation to be in, I think.
Who would you have had? Like, obviously I would have gone for Hangman Page. I get that you don't want to do that right away, but also Hangman Page's whole character is, I cannot have you with that title. So it makes sense for him to come out and immediately have that. Yeah. I think Swerve as sort of an on-screen presence, obviously I love. But ever since Hangman has left the story, it has lost an edge.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes a wrestler is over because of their connection to an opponent. That's not the total reason.
I get what you're saying.
It's like Batman's at his most interesting when the Joker's in the comics too.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm just getting this weirdly. I'm getting this same feeling I had about Swerve's reign in the very early weeks. So I know, like, hopefully this isn't indicative of the whole reign, as I did as soon as Hangman Page won the title.
Mm.
This kind of feeling that I don't think you really had a solid plan when the story is finished.
Sure.
I didn't say the same about Cody and WWE, but they can afford to do that right now because they're so hot. And
yeah.
They can just put on AJ Styles versus Cody Rhodes. Such a predictable match. I think they'll find enough to make this like, oh, this is a really fun feud. But like you said, it's not that killer.
Mm-hmm.
Pay-per-view first title defense. I mean, he's had his first title defense. It was against Claudio on Collision.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, Hook would have been better.
I think Hangman's a good shout in that even if they did Hangman and Swerve, it doesn't need to be like the blow-off match. You could do that and then, you know, they kind of not go their separate ways, but there's Forbidden Door in the middle of it that you can kind of have the story come around and then come back together in time for Wembley or whenever you'd want to do it next. But it does kind of feel like you want to keep the pedal to the metal and keep this thing hot. And that's probably the best way to do it, is keep Swerve with his most interesting opponent. Hopefully he can make another one of them out of Christian Cage. And by the time we get to the pay-per-view, I'll be itching to see this match. And oh, I can't wait. I think that's entirely possible. Just have Swerve like kill Nick Wayne again.
Yep.
And, you know, there's things that we can do here. But yeah.
I was going to say John Moxley would be a great first.
I was thinking him as well.
Especially with their death match. Oh, no, it was Moxley and Hangman
who
had the death match. So there's kind of this weird hate triangle going on.
Yeah.
But obviously he's IWGP.
He ain't losing anytime soon.
And maybe that's your Forbidden Door feud.
Maybe. You know, it's tough. I don't think you're having either of the top champions of these companies lose at the moment, which is, you know, it's a bit of a booking headache.
Yeah.
It's why a lot of these cross-promotional matchups are a lot more fun in your head when you don't have to worry about politics.
So for this segment, though, I thought Christian and the patriarchy did as much as they could have possibly done. Mm-hmm. Christian gave good reasons. You beat up Nick Wayne last year, my son. We had that all-in match, the biggest wrestling event of all time. Mm-hmm. And you lost me that tag match against Sting. And I'm going to be the new dad to your daughter. Ah. And they beat up Swerve. They beat up Nana too. And they Killswitch tore a braid out of Swerve's head.
That seems very painful.
I mean, I'm hoping it's a working braid.
I'd hope so. I also, this will be the first time I bring up the crowd. Because I felt like there was a group of like less than 20 guys in this crowd that were just content to ruin every serious moment, you know? And they ripped the braid out of Swerve's head. And there were like 15 people that were chanting, "Eat it." And I was just like, "Shut up! Yeah. I'm trying to enjoy my wrestling show, Winnipeg."
Where was it where they fed someone their own hair on wrestling recently? Maybe that's why.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
Was it TNA?
Sounds like a TNA thing.
After that, we got a House of Black vignette, and they were like, "Ooh, you won't know which one of us is going to face you in the Cope Oakland." And I'm like, well, it's probably Buddy Matthews.
Cope Oakland again.
Oh, God damn it. I thought, well, it's probably Buddy Matthews first, and then you'll do it with Brody King the next week. And then there'll be Malakai Black. That's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
But that's okay. I thought this was a really uncharacteristic Buddy Matthews.
Mm.
And it wasn't until about two-thirds of the way through the match where he reversed a spear into this like super quick kick up, like kick, knee, strike. Like, oh, that's the usual speed of Buddy. But the rest of it, he was sort of wrestling I mean this in a nice way, the slow building Copeland edge style match.
Mm-hmm. I had a lot of thoughts about this match. I think it's a difficult strategy to pull off to have like a mystery opponent of some sort, as they did here. And they give you like three options. And then the mystery's revealed. And it's unfortunately, I like Buddy Matthews, it's the least interesting of the three options. I didn't think we were getting Malakai Black. I kind of had crossed my fingers that we were getting a Brody King match here. So I can kind of understand the fans maybe being like, yay. You know, it's on some level probably a little disappointing when you look at like the other two options here. I wouldn't have had this match go so long. This match went over 20 minutes.
Did it go that long?
They did the call on the thing, like 20 minutes gone by, 10 minutes remaining. And I was like, wow, you can kind of feel it. And
there's two commercial breaks.
Yeah. Wow. And if you told me this match on paper, I would have really been down for it. And if they had just announced it ahead of time as this is your match, I think that probably helps a little bit of it. But man, like this crowd just sapped a lot of the life out of this show for me. There were some good matches on here, and this was one where, you know, you'd had Buddy Matthews hit like a double underhook DDT through the ropes, catching Copeland as he was coming back through, and everyone went, "Whoa, holy S. And then it was silent again. And I don't know what it was, because the last time they were in Winnipeg, I seem to recall it being pretty nuclear. Well. Yeah. Yeah, like they did really well. So I don't think of this as being a cold crowd, but they weren't that into a lot on this show. And this was one of the matches I thought suffered most for it.
I haven't seen the attendance. Maybe the figures were down. Maybe they weren't mic'd well.
Maybe they're
Winnipeg
all
sucks.
Maybe they're all just sad because the Jets lost.
So the big spot in this match was,
I don't know anything about that, because my hockey team won. We're still in it for at least one more day.
He's doing a sports pit.
Doing a sports.
And the baseball's coming to London.
It is.
June.
Yeah. It's two teams I don't really care about. But
the Mets and the
Phillies. Yeah. Taz is a Mets fan. He said that on this show.
I didn't get to see baseball when I went to New York, so I might try and go. Anyway, yeah, the big spot in this was they both collided a sort of double crossbody spot in the middle of the ring, and they've been selling loads like they're in this absolute war.
Mm-hmm.
And Buddy Murphy goes to the corner, people check on him, and he's bleeding from the mouth. Obviously a work blood capsule. I love blood capsules. I think it's a safer way to do things. And then a little bit longer, Edge wins, and the commentary put over, wow, Buddy Matthews coming back through that injury. Weird spot for a heel to be in, to be working through that. Anyway, I think this is a brood tease.
I've seen a lot of people say that. I don't know how well Gangrel is moving these days. I'm sure he can get around, but he's appeared in AEW before.
Just as a manager.
Yeah.
Yeah. And because, like, Copeland's probably looking at Malakai and going, well, he's spooky, spooky. I can bring back spooky, spooky too. I thought it was a cool end bit where Copeland wins. He's still angry. So I think we're doing a descent into maybe a little bit of a heel story.
It's the Wyatts and John Cena at WrestleMania 30. Hmm. Except hopefully with a more satisfying ending.
Oh, John, the little kid.
We don't need the cage match ever again. Just give me Eminem and a really good music package.
And he hits... Well, he's going to hit the concerto. Lights cut out. Lights come back up. Malakai Black is standing right next to him and just goes, go on. I was like, that's a great spot. That's so cool.
Mm-hmm.
And then the lights went off again because it looked like Copeland was going to hit Malakai and they were both disappeared. I thought that was really cool.
I mean, my mileage has varied with the House of Black and their lore and their spooky, spooky stuff, you know, for the last, God, 3 years now. I think this is one of the more interesting things they've ever done. And it's like, I like it because it's subtle, you know? It doesn't have to be, oh, I sprayed the mist in your face and now you're evil. But it was just like, yeah, go on. I'm not here to stop you. Mm. Do the bad thing. And he's then it makes you reconsider the thing you're about to do. Oh, I really like that. Mm. And I like that it feels like we're actually building to something. It's one of my problems with the House of Black in general is a lot of the time when we're building these programs, it leads to a trios match. And that's cool and that's fine, I guess. But I do think a lot of the time the big money is in a huge singles match. And we haven't seen that many singles matches out of Malakai Black for one reason or another. Well, it certainly feels like we're building to one here. And I'll be really excited to see a Malakai Black, Adam Copeland match if that is the direction we're going.
He can't do singles matches with Malakai Black. It means he has to take the pin. Samoa Joe was up next with Isaiah Cassidy having his first match since losing the title. He's a TNA level babyface now.
Yeah,
this was
is.
Like old school TNA. I'm just going to do my squash match thing. I was absolutely fantastic.
I mean, who is better at this kind of match than Samoa Joe? Truly. Mm. Like, you can do a little bit of comedy. Isaiah Cassidy takes Joe's towel and does a little dance with it. And Samoa Joe's like, ha ha. Yeah, well, we can dance. And then he kills you. It's Samoa Joe doing a squash. He is one of the most entertaining squash match wrestlers you'll ever find.
To the detriment of these longer matches. I'm actually happy to just watch Joe squash people.
Yeah.
I thought Isaiah Cassidy did an excellent job of making me wanting to see him get Samoa Joe'd.
Yeah.
We got a video package with Sky Blue building the main event of Rampage. Orange Cassidy comes out and says that the Trent versus Chucky parking lot brawl match means Chucky will never wrestle again.
Those are heavy words.
I both hope that's a work because I don't want that for Chucky. He just seemed to come back from injury. But I also, it better have some ramifications.
Yeah, he can't just come back next week after saying that, you know?
So I'm sad either way. Obviously, I'll be sadder if he can never wrestle again. I'm such a wrestling fan. Putting this storyline over some guy's health. Trent interrupts security and Chris Statlan to stop Cassidy from going after him on the ramp. And then Don Callis comes out, gets in Orange's ear, and they walk through the babyface tunnel.
This was like, you know, this is a decent little furthering of what the best friends angle has been. And then Don Callis came out and I sat upright in my chair.
Mm.
I was like, oh, what is this going to mean? What, like, I have no idea the direction all of this. Because I could see, like, Trent Beretta joining the heel group of Don Callis. Like, it gives him something to do, you know, gives him a little bit more to surround himself with and that. you know, I don't necessarily think he's going to be like a main event level heel or anything like that, but surround him with a few and maybe he'll rise to the occasion type thing. But to then walk away with Orange Cassidy, I was like, well, that's very curious. Maybe he's like, hey, remember that Will Ospreay match? That was really good. Let's set up another one of those, maybe. I don't know. Might be completely separate from all of this, but these are two people you would not expect to interact with one another whatsoever, and it's very intriguing.
I think it's to set up Don turning on Cassidy with Trent. Because Don has been sowing those seeds that maybe he'll recruit Trent. But yeah, weird. The Young Bucks talking to Renee Paquette backstage, but Jack Perry, they give the floor to Jack Perry. And he says, Tony Khan made him the scapegoat. It's a new era. I like this level of fun shots at WWE.
Yeah.
Because you're not directly addressing him. It makes total sense in kayfabe.
That's it. As long as it makes sense within the context of what you're talking about on your show, then a little poke and needle makes sense.
After that, we got Shibata versus Chris Jericho for the FTW title. Jericho's dad, Ted Irvine, is in the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought this was a good match.
I mean, Shibata was in it.
Yeah. And Jericho, he went for it. Like that, his chest was red raw because they were just doing these stiff chops back and forth. Kendo sticks to the neck at one point, sitting on the, doing a Yabu spot on the floor. Shibata powering up in a no-sell spot when he's got the trash can over his head.
So goofy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. Like, if you consider it sacrilege for Katsuyori Shibata to be doing a silly garbage weapons match, then it might rub you the wrong way a little bit. But also, there was some level, I don't think it reached the heights of like the Jericho Ishii match that he had for the ROH title a couple years ago. But like, they did the chop back and forth spot that they did in that match. And I don't know in which match Jericho's chest got the worst of it, because holy Jesus. Otherwise, yeah, I thought like there were parts of it that were, you know, goofy fun. I just don't really care about the Jericho learning tree thing at all. Seeing, like, I guess they protected Shibata as much as you could possibly hope that they would if he was going to take the fall here. Have Big Bill cut him off from winning, interfere, put him through a table. Jericho wins. There you go. I will say that Jericho, when he had to break up the figure four, he picked up one of them hockey pucks.
Oh, yeah.
And he hit Shibata right in the goddamn mouth with it. Like, I thought he was just going to, like, you know, plunk it off his forehead or something like that. Shibata's hard-headed. But, oh, my God. He, like, I wouldn't be surprised if he, like, knocked a tooth out or something. And that would be the sort of thing that would have me going, like, beat red backstage after the match. So, Shibata's a stronger man than I, but nice aim, Jericho.
Well, considering what Shibata sort of had to retire for, subtanial hematoma.
Yeah.
Which is a brain injury. I wouldn't be chucking stuff at his head.
No. And, I guess not.
And even like, you know, he's in the trash can and he's getting whacked. They could very easily. We've very quickly gone from, well, Shibata's just going to have technical mat wrestling to Shibata's going to get hit in the head with weapons. A bit too. A bit too fast for me.
Yeah.
Just in general in wrestling, and I love a yeet, but people are chucking stuff into people's heads a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
The main event women's match, Sky Blue is throwing these chairs at Willow's head.
Yeah.
She's only just getting her hand up to protect herself.
Yeah. I mean, Jack Perry hit the security guards with the chair in the head. They were putting their hands up, like, with plenty of space, but it does feel like we're kind of moving back. The pendulum's starting to swing the other way. And I would urge them to proceed with caution.
Yeah. Like you already said, Big Bill comes down, chokeslams Shibata through a table for Jericho to get the win. Later on Rampage, they had a backstage segment and Jericho sort of officially recruited Big Bill to the learning tree.
There you go. He's his new Jake Hager.
Yeah. I think this, what Jericho's doing, he's performing it well, the sort of wave and the over-the-top smiling baby face, who's actually a bad guy. But again, just need a break from him.
Yeah.
Renee's backstage with Willow and Chris Statlander talking about the Mercedes miscommunication from the previous week. Willow cuts a promo on Sky Blue. And then Stokely Hathaway here was superb. He starts ranting at the Bucks. Renee's passed a message that Chris and Stokely are now banned from ringside for the Willow match later. And Stokely storms off saying, aside from my own actions, what did I do to deserve this?
He is just brilliant. He has the best 5 second stretch of every show.
Claudio took on Brian Cage. Claudio worked more as a face. I'm pretty sure they did zoom in cutting on the swing.
Again, it's a trend that I would, you know, proceed with caution. It's a slippery slope.
Unless that's a meta joke because the Bucks are in the production.
Maybe. That'd be really meta. That would be, yeah.
And Claudio won with a sharpshooter. Not much. This was like fine. But I thought this was quite predictable. I found a lot of the card on this entire show predictable.
Mm-hmm. I think that's very fair. I think this, again, was another match that didn't do very much for this crowd. And I won't necessarily give the crowd as much grief on this one because it's, you know, kind of a cold match. There's not a whole lot playing into it. Whereas, you know, a TNT title match that gets plenty of time with stuff that's been built up. I was like, yeah, you should probably get up for that. Whereas this was like, this is a TV match. But these are two guys that I consider to be very, very good in the ring. And it does seem like they are trying to go in like a Claudio singles push kind of direction, you know, after the swerve match that we saw last week. They aired a little backstage, not even backstage, but him walking to the car in the parking lot and such after that match, talking about how he's not the shiny new toy. I'm the wooden toy that never breaks. And I'm not the wrestler that I want to be. I'm the wrestler that I need to be, and all these different things, and really highlighting him and his ability and his consistency. And it feels to me like we're maybe starting to go in the direction of him being a more pushed singles guy on AEW TV, which I was kind of hoping to see like his first year in, but he went the ROH direction. So he was getting a lot more of his wins and TV time there and occasional TV time on AEW, which I didn't think was a bad thing by any means. But, you know, seeing him getting to mix it up with the vast number of incredible wrestlers in AEW is only an exciting prospect for me. So if this is the start of more matches to come that hopefully will get better responses and such, I consider that a win.
Last week, Don Callis was looking at Claudio with hungry, hungry eyes.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it's a singles push that ends up with some involvement with the family?
Maybe. I mean, it's curious because, you know, who has put Bryan Danielson out? A member of the Don Callis family. Mm-hmm. So maybe this is a way to kind of continue that for a little bit while longer and have Danielson come back. And there's Claudio who's kind of conflicted maybe. There's a lot that you can work with there.
Renee's talking to Rocky Romero backstage. We love Rocky Romero. He's fantastic. And he's sort of said, I'm going to win a championship in AEW. I'm moving away from the best friends.
There you go.
So
I don't believe him. I'd love that for Rocky.
Yeah.
I love Rocky Romero, but don't know which of these champions he's beaten at the moment.
Yeah. Then we got Mariah May versus Serena Deeb. I love watching Deeb wrestle.
Mm-hmm.
She works slightly face. But it kind of felt like they were both heels, but that's fine. And just her technical stuff here was really enjoyable. You get the wrapped up Mariah May in her own body, you know, when she's just a little package on the floor.
Paradise lock.
And there was the finish, which was Deeb caught these head scissors in the corner and just slammed that down into a single leg crab. And I think we've seen it before. She just starts bashing the knee against the mat to make him tap out. And then at that point, Storm throws in the towel.
Mm-hmm. Cold finish. Mm. But again, I don't know if that's just this crowd.
I like the finish.
I really like the finish. Anytime they do a throw in the towel thing, I think it just adds so many more layers to it than if they had just tapped out. I really liked Mariah May in this match as well. I think she did a sell on like one of the neck breakers. It was like a swinging net breaker that Deeb did. And I thought Mariah May just looked fantastic taking it. It made the move look so much better, made Deeb look so much better. I really like these two together. Every time I see Mariah May, I like her work more and more. Again, she's stardom champion, so it's not surprising that her matches are very, very good. But it just makes me more excited for when, you know, eventually this Toni Storm thing will come to a head, and I'm sure we'll get, you know, some sort of title match or maybe a title reign or whatever it ends up being, because she can more than hold her own.
Which is probably like the bit that I was left down on this. I love Serena Deeb, but like it just feels like another filler opponent for Toni Storm, because this means Deeb versus Toni at Double or Nothing for the Women's World title. But I'm like, well, I know Toni Storm's going to keep this until she has the Mariah May match.
You'd think.
And yeah, it's a shame that, you know, when you look back, what was it, 2 years ago, and Deeb had that match against
Thunder Rosa.
Was it Thunder Rosa?
Yeah.
I think it was Shida. They had like three amazing...
They had the matches on Dynamite.
Really good match.
Yeah.
So those are the ones I mean.
Yeah. She wrestled Thunder Rosa at Double or Nothing a couple of years ago.
And she had so much momentum. And now she just keeps on getting taken off TV for stretches.
Yeah.
So yeah, hopefully they can do a lot to reheat Deeb because she's fantastic. And then we got the Kenny Omega segment that we've already covered. Now we're in Rampage. We'll just go through these. Jay White beat Dante Martin.
Good little match, I thought. Mm-hmm. You know, I really like these two together.
Beat up Dante Martin afterwards as well, after celebrating with him. And that probably sets up a trios match against Andretti.
Well, they just had one. They had one on Collision. Oh, so, like, I don't know what this would then build for. But he beat him up with the Bloody Sunday, which is one of Finn Balor's moves.
Oh.
I don't think that's going to lead to anything.
Judgment Day versus
Bullet Club. It's a Bullet Club thing. Bullet Club.
Deonna Purrazzo spoke on her heel turn. Really good Roosh video package.
Yeah, love Roosh.
Yeah. I really hope he gets featured more now he's back.
I hope so.
And then we got the Big Bill with Jericho segment. Little bit about Swerve saying he's going to remind the Bucks who the hell he is next week and that he won't be alone.
That's curious, because again, the only people that have been allied with Swerve have been the Mogul Embassy, and they don't all seem to be on, you know, even the same show anymore.
I don't know who Swerve could be bringing. Gates of Agony could have a mini tag title feud with the Bucks.
Yeah, it could do.
But yeah, other than that.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to just turn the whole Mogul Embassy babyface, like, I guess it's a thing to do, but I don't know if that works so well, because those are three big, mean heels, very clearly.
Romero lost to Kyle O'Reilly in a just very decent match.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of technical reversals near the end for Kyle to get the pin.
Sends me back to Ring of Honor from like 9 years ago.
Yeah. And then Willow Nightingale, in her first TBS title defense, took on Sky Blue in, I think it was called a Manitoba Massacre match.
Yes.
And it was Falls Count Anywhere. And it is so much fun. And I was watching this and I thought, well, last week it was Nightingale who got the big title celebration on Dynamite. Mm-hmm. And she got the challenger who came out and they had an angle. And then this week she's getting the really good bloody hardcore match to really cement her reign. I'm like, this is Swerve's book. Why aren't they doing this for Swerve too?
They've really gone in hard on pushing Willow Nightingale as TBS champion, which, again, I'm fully in support of, because she's fantastic and could be, like, you know, one of the faces of this promotion. Mm. One of the most likable baby faces I've ever seen in wrestling. She is fantastic, able to have a great match, as we saw last night. I don't know if you've seen, but it took literal minutes after the show ended to get Sky Blue out of the barbed wire table.
Really?
She was in there. It literally took like 5 minutes of them like trying to dig her out of this thing.
Like Terry Funk in
So it's even more props to both of them, because this match, holy smokes, is exactly what you need for a first title defense of a babyface to prove that they're mean and they're tough. Because I really liked her promo on Sky Blue on Dynamite and then backed it up with a really great match. And I mean, Sky Blue's come a long way as well. She had a really great match, I think, with Chris Statlander a little while back, just a few months ago. It might have been with Willow in another singles. But them two together is like a really fun mid-card, can keep coming back to each other, this whole mix. they end up with really good matches out of it. I'm a big fan.
So some of the crazy things that happened were a cannonball off the apron from Willow. It was originally meant to be on Sky Blue sitting on a chair, but Sky Blue moves and Willow just goes into the chair, the upright chair. We got thumbtacks brought out and Willow hit sort of a twisting avalanche brainbuster off the second rope on the Sky Blue onto the tacks. And then, yeah, this finish. Oh, the chair's been thrown at heads. And then the finish is, Tempest already alluded to it, a doctor bomb off the apron on a table, but on top of the table was also this wooden board with loads of barbed wire on. And it was such a good finish. Like, yeah. I love it when you, and Ospreay does it all the time, you finish the match on the most dramatic high point. Best match of the show.
Yeah. And I don't know what it is, but every once in a while, the AEW women's division just goes out there and does a hardcore match. And it's like one of the best hardcore matches you'll see all year. It was like Anna Jay and the Bunny did it on Rampage like a year and a half ago or something. I don't even really remember who they were wrestling at the time. I think it was like Chris Statlander and somebody. But like that happened. And then, of course, the famous Lights Out match. And now this match. All of these matches deliver. Mm. And I mean, not a shocker. Again, give these people time and they will deliver on it. But my God, just do it more often because I want to see more of this.
Overall, I gave this show, and I'm putting sort of Dynamite and Rampage together, 78%.
I think it's about right.
So just under a 4 out of 5.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
I really enjoyed the Kenny angle, but overall, I think it was a bit of a predictable show for me.
Mm-hmm. Again, I think if the crowd was just a little bit hotter for it, I think this would have really gone a long way because I just found myself just kind of like, oh my God, come on. I want to like get in there and be like, come on, guys, let's go. Yeah, be the one guy doing the slow chat, the slow clap.
I'm like, that's when I realized Joe is a baby face now.
Yeah.
Because Cassidy was outside and Joe just started doing this for everyone to clap for his dive. We do not have podcast shout outs. We're still processing all the Patreon stuff for this month. But do go over to patreon.com/wrestletalk and sign up there because there's loads of exclusive video content like Survival Series Thunderdome.
Yes, indeed. And a new episode coming next Friday. So you don't want to miss that one. It's very good, this one.
But for now, let's go through your remaining Omega chat. Space Viking says, Christian's ability to make every feud about him becoming someone's father is one of the many skills taught in the learning tree of Jericho.
I don't know if he got that from Jericho, unless, you know, Christian's dad was also a hockey player that never won the Stanley Cup.
Ooh, sports shade.
Yeah.
Sheldon Jackson, here's a fun fact that might rattle Ollie. Swerve has had more successful defenses of the AEW World title than one CM Punk across his two reigns just by Swerve retaining against Claudio on Collision this past Saturday.
Well, he's not wrong.
Did he ever defend the real world? Yeah, he defended the real World Championship against Samoa Joe at
he
All
did.
In.
There you go.
And he beat Jack Perry. And Matt Hennessy, finally for now, I'm okay with Christian being challenger. He is very much the AJ Styles to Swerve's Cody Rhodes. There are bigger programs for Swerve, but he's still a good first defense.
Yeah. I don't necessarily disagree. I'm just, you know, for a pay-per-view, I think you need more big matches around that. And I'm hoping that those come in the next few weeks.
I would say there's a difference. Two major differences that first come to my head is, first, WWE has momentum, AEW does not. This feels for me like a backstep in momentum compared to how excited I was for the, like, that Revolution Joe Swerve Hangman match. I was just, give it to me. And then the Joe Swerve match I was a little bit less into, and now I would say I'm, you know, quite significantly under that for the Christian Swerve match. But also, Cody is way more established than Swerve. So he was put over by Brock Lesnar the previous year. He had already main evented WrestleMania and just lost. He'd done every, you know, the whole story. Cody can coast on his first title defense after winning the championship. Swerve, really, and you know, I love Swerve. He really has only caught super fire since last October.
Yeah, when it was like the first time that he came out and had the promo with Hangman is really where it all started to come together.
So he's still really, really relatively fresh in that top tippity top main event status. So you need to do everything you can to make him feel like he belongs. And to me, love Christian, but he was a mid-card champion. Mm-hmm. But that's how he's been presented this entire time. So you sort of needed another really credible main event talent for me to be Swerve's first challenger.
Yeah. Again, I don't necessarily disagree. Like, you look at the Hangman reign that you brought up earlier in the show, and his first title defense and everything was against Daniel Bryan, or Bryan Danielson. God, where am I? You know, Bryan Danielson is about as established a main event guy as you could get at that point to put him over several times in a row. And we don't really have one of those lying around at the moment, unfortunately. Yeah. Like, I think Christian's a really good pick in that I don't know if there's a better one right now. Like, again, Moxley would be a pretty good choice. You don't have a former world champion that you can beat right now.
It's a shame there's so many mid-card belts.
Yeah.
Because if there's only one, if there's not a Continental Championship, and I'm not saying beat Okada, you give Okada the belt, the TNT title, and then, you know, a heel Copeland, if you can manage that, going up against Swerve for this, that would be a good first.
So you're saying that Adam Copeland's better than Christian Cage? I'm not Luke.
Don't let
Christian. Who sat here?
And one more chat has come through. I can see it. Do you reckon you could just read that out? Because it's not popped up on...
It says, Ospreay versus Riddle at Forbidden Door, please. Give us a yay boo spot, but with bro versus bro.
Bro. Bruv. Bro. Bruv. That's fun. That feels very British indie scene circa 2017-19.
A little bit. I don't necessarily need to see Riddle on a AEW pay-per-view personally, but that spot is creative and fun.
Well, that's all we've got time for today. Please go over to the WrestleTalk channel to watch the WrestleTalk news there and subscribe here because we're going to have a review of Le Backlash on Sunday with Luke and... I don't know who else. Maybe Dan? We'll find out. Subscribe. That's the only way you will find out. But I've been Ollie Davis. This has been Tempest. Jam that jam.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.